Leaders of the State House and Senate say there will be no special session to override Governor Deal's veto of the Religious Liberty Bill. Meanwhile, the governor is facing new pressure to veto another controversial measure. And did one of the sponsors of the Religious Liberty Bill cost the city of Columbus state funding? We'll talk about all that with GPB's Bill Nigut. Bill, good morning.
Hi, Bradley.
So there were rumblings after Governor Deal issued a veto on the Religious Liberty Bill on Monday that supporters would try to call a special session to override it. But House Speaker David Ralston, Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, they pretty much shut that idea down.
Yeah, it always seemed that this was a knee-jerk response. People were who support this bill were really upset, and so their first instinct is, let's get back here and correct this. But it didn't ever make a whole lot of sense. The bar was awfully high. Three-fifths of the legislature would have to approve the special session. They didn't have those votes. It was not going to be easy to override the veto, so it makes much more sense for those supporters to take a deep breath and talk about what they want to do in the next session of the General Assembly, which is what they're doing now.
And Cagle and Ralston said that this bill will come back next year. How might it look different?
Yeah, well, your guess is as good as anybody else's. I mean, the question becomes, what compromise can they come up with now that will please both supporters of religious liberty and the business community, as well as the LGBT community? I mean, I just think this is a Gordian knot, and that it's going to be very difficult to do much that's going to satisfy everyone on this thing.
Well, Governor Deal is also facing some pressure now to veto this campus carry bill, which would allow licensed gun owners to carry their weapons on public university campuses. A group called Every Town for Gun Safety, which is a gun control group that's backed by former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, they're running ads in the Atlanta TV market this weekend asking the governor to veto it.
Yeah, and they've been running ads during the last weeks of the session trying to get the legislature not to approve the bill. You know, here again, the governor is in a very tight spot. On one hand, a vast majority of the Republicans in the legislature support campus carry. In many ways, he wants to please them because he's got to have them on his side for his agenda next year. He also recognizes that a lot of Georgia citizens want campus carry, but he also understands that the Board of Regents, that law enforcement agencies and a significant number of people across the state don't want these weapons on campus. So, again, he's got a very tough decision to make here.
And he had concerns about that bill. He wanted changes to it before the session ended, and that didn't happen.
He didn't get them. He wanted changes. He thought it was wrong to have guns in daycare centers located on college campuses. He pointed out that high school students take classes at college campuses. He wanted something done about that. And the legislature basically looked him in the eye and said, sorry, Governor, either sign the bill you've got or risk the consequences of a veto.
State Senator Josh McCoon of Columbus, he's been the most outspoken advocate for this religious freedom, religious liberty, religious exemption bill, whatever you want to call it. Representative Richard Smith, who's a Republican, also from Columbus, this week he told the Ledger Inquirer newspaper that some of McCoon's comments during the debate over religious liberty that it actually cost the city funding for Columbus State University and the National Infantry Museum, about $10 million that was taken out of the final budget that lawmakers approved.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that Josh McCoon was a lightning rod this session, not just because of the Religious Liberty Bill, but you may recall that McCoon, a senator, tried to introduce legislation that would limit the number of terms a Speaker of the House could serve. He seemed to be, throughout the session, looking to be a lightning rod. Everyone agrees that Josh McCoon is one of the smartest guys in the legislature, but yeah, he apparently irritated enough leadership that Columbus lost funding because of his behavior.
So what Richard Smith said is that he had meetings with the chiefs of staff for Governor Deal and with House Speaker Ralston, and they said, we don't like what McCoon said, so we're going to take this money out of the budget. McCoon is saying that Smith never told him about those meetings.
Yeah.
Smith says he regrets doing that. And you also have McCoon saying, well, if Richard Smith's being told that by people in the governor's office and in the speaker's office, he should go tell the authorities.
Yeah, that's right. Josh McCune, always one to double down when he has the chance to do it, is now saying perhaps there should be a federal investigation of whether political pressure was applied to remove Columbus funding from the budget. And Richard Smith, you're the guy who ought to start this process.
All right. What do you got coming up on the show today?
We're going to be talking, interestingly enough, about everybody says there is no presidential campaign, anything like what we're seeing now. Well, that's not quite true. And we're going to talk about some previous races with Joe Crispino, who is a history professor at Emory University, who will talk about George Wallace, about the 1924 Democratic Convention, which has parallels to what we might see in Cleveland. So we're going to do a little history lesson as we look at this year's presidential race.
That's all on Political Rewind with Bill Niggott this afternoon at 3. Bill, thanks so much.